The fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Ever wonder where all that money went from the Republican tax bill?
What are you going to do with your tax cut?
I don't know, because I love Lamborghinis, but I already have a bunch, so.
You know that fancy bottled water, the Fiji water?
Yeah.
Going to fill my pool with those.
Maybe I could park one in my living room.
I am going to give my nanny a raise. Huh. Kidding, I'm going to get a bigger yacht. Do you like that one?
Hey, Chloe, what are you going to do with your tax cut?
I didn't get one.
Oh.
It's okay.
This is uncomfortable.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, sir.
Sorry, I'm late.
These teeth diamonds took forever.
Oh. Yeah. Shine like a Lamborghini.
Very nice.
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Thank
nice.
You. All right, where are we?
Happy tax day, everybody. Happy tax day. What are you going to do with your refund? What are you going to do with your $4,000? What are you going to do? I didn't get. I'm Chloe in that particular. That came out from the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Committee campaign. Yeah, that came out from them to remind everybody that it was, big fish, not little fish, that got the tax break. I'm feeling it. So support the show. All right. Thank you. That's all I'm going to say. Support the show. All right. This is going to be a very informative and strange trip that we're about to go on together about how Stormy Daniels, oh no, I'm not kidding, how Stormy Daniels is taking down the entire Russia propaganda machine, the entire Russia hacking operation, the entire collusion case is going to be wide open, and it's all because of Stormy Daniels. It's all because of a porn star. This is the height of the Me Too movement. This is like the best part of the Me Too movement, is that porn stars are not afraid to be human beings any longer and will put themselves out there as who and what they are without shame in order to take down a corrupt administration. I am so convinced that Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels are so much smarter than Donald Trump and Michael Cohen. This thing that happened yesterday, this thing is a thing. This thing is their thing. It's Cosa Nostra, baby. This is their thing. This is the story yesterday in the courtroom. You have to sit and let it, marinate in your brain a little bit. Because if you remember yesterday, I kept saying, it's all so tangled. But there's all these disparate pieces, all these people, all these things, all these conspiracies, all coming together in one courtroom in New York yesterday. Stormy Daniels was there. And, for some strange reason, no one in the media can figure out why was Stormy Daniels there yesterday? Why was she there to watch Michael Cohen, who brought this procedure? Okay, Michael Cohen is the person who went to Judge Kimball Wood yesterday. His request to Judge Kimball Wood on Friday, and this is why Friday's news was so freaking important, okay? Never mind that we bombed Syria, which was just the cherry on the cake of a very heavy news day that sent Donald Trump into fits of rage and anger on the Twitter, okay? Twitler was losing his freaking mind. Not only was it because of this court hearing, and not only was it because he knows Michael Cohen is the linchpin in all of this Russia hacking scandal, in all of the Russian attempts to infiltrate the elections, that Michael Cohen on Friday was reportedly, provably, by Bob Mueller in Prague, and that he was in Prague to pay off the Russian hackers. That was a really big piece of information that got buried on Friday. Buried. And it's really, really important, okay, that the special counsel, Robert Mueller, reportedly has evidence. And this was according to McClatchy, a news reporter for McClatchy named Peter Stone, and his reporting partner, Greg Gordon, broke a very important piece of news on Friday. That and this is how the article began. The article began, the Justice Department special counsel has evidence that Donald Trump's personal lawyer and confidant, Michael Cohen, secretly made a late summer trip to Prague during the 2016 presidential campaign, according to two sources familiar with the matter. This was a bombshell. So, of course, Trump had to bomb Syria. All right. Also on Friday, Michael Cohen had gone to court. He's the one that started this proceeding. It was his lawyer, Stephen Ryan's, request that the judge consider their motion to ask the court to allow Michael Cohen and his legal team to review the documents that were taken in a raid, and it was only a week ago. I mean, it seems like forever ago, right? That Michael Cohen, his office, his hotel room, and his apartment was raided. No, it was only a week ago. And so they moved to the court and asked the court to allow Michael Cohen to go over all the documents himself, and that Michael Cohen should decide that there's attorney-client privilege in the balance, and then he could turn over whatever he felt was not protected by attorney-client privilege. And of course, the judge asked a simple question on Friday of the lawyers representing Michael Cohen. That simple question was, who is his clients? Who are his clients? Name them. How many clients does this man have? Because we hear he only has the one. The attorneys for Michael Cohen couldn't answer that question. They tried to say, well, he's got 10. He had 10 clients. Turns out that 7 of those clients were business consultations. They weren't attorney legal work. They weren't privileged. It was Michael Cohen doing the shady legal work that Michael Cohen, doing the shady consulting that Michael Cohen does with regard to, oh, let's say building Trump Tower Moscow, that kind of thing, right? It wasn't legal and it wasn't anything that would fall under the attorney-client privilege protection. So they said, we need more time. So Judge Kimball Wood said, all right, come back on Monday. I don't think it'll take that long for him to tell me how many clients he has. If you're saying he only has 10, that's pretty small practice. Now we find out 7 of the 10 were business consultations and they weren't attorney, legal work that he was doing for any of them. So they're not protected. So that leaves us 3. I think over the weekend, you can figure out who the 3 are. Well, it turns out the 3 were Donald Trump, Elliot Briody, the vice chair who just resigned. You know, Steve Wynn was the head of the Republican National Committee, and he had to resign because of, you know, harassment of women. Now Briody has to resign because Michael Cohen apparently arranged a payment to his paramour, who she says she got pregnant. He gave her money for an abortion. The Republican National, I just, the irony of it, you know what I mean? Paid her to have an abortion, but then settled with her for $1.6 million to be paid to her quarterly. And what's really fascinating is they all had the same attorney, not Michael Cohen. The Stormy did, the Karen McDougal did, this Playboy model did, and they're all being referred to Michael Cohen. The men are on the other side of the table. There's that too, but let's concentrate on Michael. So it comes out in court yesterday that Elliot Briody is a client. Okay, got that. Donald Trump is a client, but there were no emails between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump. So there is no, chance that Michael Cohen's emails have protected attorney-client privileged material between him and Donald Trump, since Donald Trump never emailed Michael Cohen and Michael Cohen never emailed Donald Trump. So that was presented to the court. So now there was just this question of who's the third client? Who's the third client? And we all now know that the third client, as yesterday was unfolding, that the third client is Sean Hannity. All right. That's interesting. Why would Sean Hannity be getting legal advice from Michael Cohen, a sometimes half-assed fixer for Donald Trump? A sometimes business consultant for Donald Trump? Why? Sean Hannity makes $36 million a year. I know it's a big oh my God, but that's what cable news people make, okay? Anywhere from 8 to 25, you know. Don't ask me. I could never explain it to you. I could never tell you why anybody is worth that kind of cash, okay? Just could never tell it to you. But that he makes like, I'm guessing 25, 26 from Fox, and then another 10 from, you know, the very bankrupt iHeart. Yeah, you know. And so he's got $36 million. Why in the world would he be taking legal advice from Michael Cohen? He's got his own lawyers. No, somebody, you know, negotiated $36 million in, you know, salary for him. What the hell is he doing working with Michael Cohen in any capacity whatsoever as he sits on his TV show, interviews Michael Cohen, defends Michael Cohen, trashes the FBI, trashes Robert Mueller, trashes the entire law enforcement community, and defend, you know, he's a Donald Trump super fan. Why would he be getting legal advice from Michael Cohen? And why did the lawyers work so hard yesterday to protect Sean Hannity's relationship with Michael Cohen? What the hell was that about? It seems to me that Sean Hannity and Michael Cohen have been working together on Russian propaganda and turning Fox News at 9 o'clock at night into a giant propaganda machine for the Russians. Michael Cohen, the New York investigation of Michael Cohen is for illegal business activities. It has nothing to do with the counterintelligence investigation that's going on in Mueller's office or at the Senate Intelligence Committee. It has nothing to do with the fact that Michael Cohen reportedly went to Prague and paid the Russian hackers on behalf of Trump. It has nothing to do with that. Mueller came across some financial dealings of Michael Cohen that are shady, that probably have much more to do with Stormy Daniels and the payoffs, and perhaps working with lawyers that were representing these women and then referring the men on the other side of the table to Michael Cohen. It has probably much more to do with his taxi medallion business and failure to pay taxes or dealings with the Russian mob, business. But it has nothing to do with Mueller's investigation. That is a separate thing. And I have a very funny feeling that Sean Hannity is also part of Mueller's investigation. I have a funny feeling that Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti know this, and that Michael Cohen walked right into their trap yesterday in the court.
All things Randy at RandyRhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
For years, Mr. Cohen has acted like he is above the law. He has considered himself and openly referred to himself as Mr. Trump's fixer. He has played by a different set of rules, or should we say no rules at all. He has never thought that the little man, or especially women, and even more women like me, mattered. That ends now. My attorney and I are committed to making sure that everyone finds out the truth and the facts of what happened, and I give my word that we will not rest until that happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Honest to God, man, they are the reason Michael Cohen was in court yesterday. They didn't bring Michael Cohen into court yesterday. Michael Cohen brought Michael Cohen into court yesterday. This is a really elaborate trap that was set for Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen is such an idiot that he took the bait. Okay? Nobody forced Michael Cohen to go to court yesterday. There was no reason for Michael Cohen to go to court yesterday, except Michael Cohen wanted to go to court yesterday because Michael Cohen wanted to ask the judge if he could sift through the documents that were taken by the FBI in New York, and if he could, you know, determine which of those materials were protected under attorney-client privilege. And of course, the court asked one simple question: how many clients do you have, and who are they? Because the taint team will take your list and they will protect any client and, you know, that you have, any of their communications with you will be protected. And they couldn't answer the damn question because they don't have any clients. Michael Cohen has one client, and that client is Donald Trump. He may have inserted himself into another settlement case with another Playboy model on behalf of the vice chair of the Republican National Committee, which fell to him through the lawyer for these girls. I mean, that's another story, but the only reason why Michael Cohen was in court yesterday is because Michael Cohen wanted to be in court yesterday, and the judge simply asked, who are your clients? And when he said who his clients were, he included Sean Hannity. So Stormy Daniels equaled Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen went to court saying he's got to protect his clients. Trump's consigliere went to court. And in exposing, you know, his love for the attorney-client privilege, he exposed himself as being somebody who doesn't have clients except for Donald Trump and Donald Trump's fanboy, Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity has been on his television show defending Michael Cohen, trashing law enforcement, and promoting generally Russian propaganda. What propaganda, Randy? You remember the Seth Rich propaganda? You remember that? Yeah, well, that story is a piece of Russian propaganda. Do you recall that Sean Hannity interviewed Julian Assange many times? Do you recall that Sean Hannity asked Julian Assange to sit in for him to be his guest host? Do you recall that Sean Hannity went to London and got into the Ecuadorian embassy and got a couple of sit downs like five times with Julian Assange? Do you remember that Sean Hannity was direct messaging with Julian Assange? This thing is about to blow wide open. And Michael Avenatti set the trap, and this is why Michael Avenatti thinks that Michael Cohen will roll over. Michael Cohen is about to be exposed as being the person who paid off Russian hackers, being the person who was feeding all kinds of stories to Sean Hannity, and being, you know, also in touch with WikiLeaks, in touch with Julian Assange, in touch with Roger Stone. This whole story is about to get super simple, and it's going to be just a handful of these crazy people who actually conspired with Russia and Russian hacking and Russian hackers, paid them when Donald Trump stood there and said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find... He wasn't kidding. He was saying, you know, I'm going to pay you for this. I want it done. I want it done. And all these people are part of Donald Trump's Cosa Nostra. The protection that Sean Hannity gives on that channel to this mob family. This is why Comey said that he got this feeling that they were behaving like a mob family. This is why when Comey sat down, and he will continue to sit down and continue to give interviews, he keeps saying that from the minute that he met Donald Trump, he had this feeling that it was Cosa Nostra. It felt very familiar to him. He was having flashbacks of when they prosecuted John Gotti. He understood that it was just a family, you know, a family of mobsters who were protecting the Don, and that Trump was the Don. And he understood it. He understood it. And so who are the members of the family? It's Michael Cohen. It's Roger Stone. It's Sean Hannity. It's Julian Assange. It's, you know, a handful of people, you know, that Hope Hicks was willing to do criminal things. She was willing to put out. It's his son, Junior, who's meeting with her. Even Jeff Sessions was willing to go along for a while. I mean, this thing is just bizarre world, but yet it's super, super simple. Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels set a trap. And Michael Cohen on Friday petitioned the court to hear him and walked into that trap. And that's why yesterday the third client was Sean Hannity, because Sean Hannity was the propaganda machine. He was the protection in the media. You know, remember in The Godfather, it's funny, reminded me of this scene. Remember in The Godfather, after Michael goes to the hospital because he knows, you know, his father's been, there's been an attempted murder on his father, and he gets Enzo the baker to stand guard over his father, and he goes outside, and Salazzo, you know, the cop, beats up Michael, you know, and tells him, you know, you better shut up about all this and blah, blah, blah. And Michael calls Tom Hayden, right? And he says, you know, just got beat up by a cop. We got somebody at the papers, don't we? Don't we have a friendly reporter? I mean, I think a reporter would like a story like this, that a cop beat me up. You know, I think a reporter would like a story like that. And Tom assures him, yeah, we got somebody in the press. We got somebody in the press who could fix it for you. That's what Sean Hannity is. He's the fixer in the media. Michael Cohen is the fixer on the women and, pursuing Trump Tower, Russia deals, you know, things like that, you know. And obviously, Julian Assange is the person who was contacted in order to be plausible deniability between Russian hackers, 13 indictments of Russian hackers and Russian, individuals. I think Mueller knows who paid them. But let's just start with why Stormy was there yesterday. She wanted to witness the actual fall of all these people who have tormented her. Oh, by the way, today she dealt with a sketch artist, and she had this world-renowned sketch artist draw a picture of the guy she said Michael Cohen dispatched to that parking lot in her remember she was going for a workout class. In the parking lot, she was she was approached by a thug who said, you know, looked in the car and saw her little infant daughter in 2011 after she, you know, had given an interview to In Touch magazine. And Trump, calls Michael Cohen, and Michael Cohen calls somebody in L.A. to go scare her. And this guy walks up to the car and says to her, you know, oh, it's a beautiful baby you got there. It would be a shame if something happened to our mother. Leave Donald Trump alone. And so Stormy Daniels sat down with a sketch artist and came up with a sketch of the guy who she remembers as being the guy. Now, look at that. I mean, if you're watching on video, it's as if Tom Brady and Jon Bon Jovi had a love child. Yeah. I mean, that is one hot man. Look at that. So I'm thinking, like, Jon Bon Jovi needs to say where he was, and Tom Brady needs to say where he was, that, and their love child that, of course, you know, is. But she actually created, she went to this artist, and, you know, this is a world-renowned sketch artist who has, you know, devoted her life to sitting with victims to draw the person that they don't have a photo of or that they, you know, remember but can't prove, you know. So now there's a $100,000 reward issued by Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti for the identification of that individual. But she's not giving up. She's not giving up, and neither is Avenatti.
Last night, at the end of all of this, as we start to kind of look forward, right? You said last night you made two predictions. One prediction was Michael Cohen's going to get indicted in the next 90 days, and the other is that Michael Cohen's going to roll in the president. Please explain the reasoning behind both of those predictions.
Well, I think this investigation has taken on an enormous amount of momentum. I think the amount of information that was obtained is significant. From what I've heard, from what I've seen, there's no question that Michael Cohen's going to be charged. It's only a question of when, and I think it's going to happen within the next 90 days. Based on my experience in white-collar criminal investigations and prosecutions, the likelihood of him not rolling over is very, very slim. I can't imagine he's going to go to trial or potentially face 10, 15, 20, 25 years in a federal penitentiary for anybody, let alone a guy, Donald Trump, who left him behind when he went to Washington, D.C. I mean, don't forget that Michael Cohen was supposedly his right-hand fixer, et cetera, and when Donald Trump was finally elected, he blew Michael Cohen off.
Michael Cohen wanted to work on the campaign. He was stiff-armed.
Correct.
He wanted to go to Washington, D.C. He was stiff-armed because Trump didn't think he was good enough to be in Washington.
And so how many times are you stiff-armed before you say, as they say in Italian, basta, enough? You think Michael Cohen's wife is going to advise him to take a 20-year bullet for the president?
Now, if the president is floating pardons to Michael Cohen, which I know some of the more deep thinkers in this audience are, you know, saying, yeah, but, you know, just that would be obstruction of justice. And I'm sure a case will be brought in New York State, which will be beyond the pardon power of the president. So that said, get that out of your head for a brief moment. Let me show you why it was so important. Well, here's the context in which Hannity's name was brought up, and then we'll start connecting dots for you, okay?
You got to understand the context in which this came up. Last Friday, the judge asked for the names of the clients for which they were seeking to protect documents based on the attorney-client privilege. Documents, okay? That's a critical, critical issue. Because what this means to me is that the reason why Sean Hannity's name was disclosed yesterday is because there are documents relating to whatever legal advice Michael Cohen gave Sean Hannity. And they're seeking to protect those documents under the attorney-client privilege.
Okay, so there are documents. Documents between Michael Cohen and Sean Hannity. Documents. What documents could there be? Well, there could be emails saying, hey, let's pin this all on Seth Rich, because if this kid, now, for those of you who need a little memory recollection, Seth Rich was a kid who worked at the Democratic National Committee in Washington, D.C., a building I've been to. We broadcast out of there. It's just a little nondescript building. Anyway, Seth Rich was a kid who worked there. And one night, Seth Rich was, in his apartment, decided he wanted to go to the convenience store to get something. And he was the victim of a botched robbery. And he was shot and he was killed. Well, I mean, literally within an hour, it started to appear on Fox News as a bombshell that Seth Rich was the disgruntled DNC employee. The reason why Seth Rich, according to Fox, was disgruntled was because he was a Bernie guy. And when Hillary got the nomination, he was so peeved. He was so angry. He was so upset that he is the source of the DNC email leaks. And the reason why that was important to Fox is because if they could say Seth Rich was the source of the DNC leaked emails, then there was no Russian hacking. Okay? Of course, the intelligence community would disagree with all of that, but it did not stop Fox News from breathlessly reporting this.
Another Fox News alert, a huge bombshell in the murder of this D.C. DNC staffer.
An investigator now says Seth Rich was in contact with WikiLeaks before he was murdered. So if that is true, and we don't know yet, looks like Russia didn't give it to WikiLeaks.
Right.
Well, it was Seth Rich, perhaps.
You see what I mean there, okay? And this was a lie. And it's such a lie that guess who else has a civil case? Seth Rich's parents have a civil case in court, active now. And so does Seth Rich's brother Aaron have a case active in court now. Because they trashed this kid and they said Hillary Clinton had their son killed. Here's Newt Gingrich on Fox News on Seth Rich.
At the same time, we have this very strange story now of this young man who worked for the Democratic National Committee, who apparently was assassinated at 4 in the morning, having given WikiLeaks something like 53,000 emails and 17,000 attachments. Mm-hmm. Nobody's investigating that. Yeah. And what does that tell you about what was going on? Mm-hmm. Because it turns out it wasn't the Russians. It was this young guy who I suspect was disgusted by the corruption of the Democratic National Committee. He's been killed, and apparently nothing serious has been done to investigate his murder. So I'd like to see how Mueller is going to define what his assignment is. Mm-hmm. And if it's only narrowly Trump, the country will not learn what it needs to learn about foreign involvement in American politics.
All right, so they brought in Newt Gingrich. Here's Hannity on his radio show.
This issue is so big now that the entire Russia collusion narrative is hanging by a thread. If, in fact, take Seth out of it, there was a whistleblower within the DNC, a truth teller, that actually was the source for WikiLeaks and not Russia. working with the Trump campaign? These are questions that I have a moral obligation to ask.
All right, then. And here is Sean Hannity interviewing a person named Rod Wheeler, who is also suing, saying that his reporting was distorted to, by Fox News, by Sean Hannity, in order to help make the case about Seth Rich.
Every time I talk to the police department about the WikiLeaks or the emails, it's automatically shut down. That discussion is automatically shut down.
Well, so we don't know for sure if the FBI or if the D.C. police have any access to these emails?
Right. We don't know. We actually have a statement from the FBI telling us to contact the D.C. police. The D.C. police says contact the FBI. Now, which is it? If this is just a murder investigation, first of all, why would the FBI be involved? The only reason the FBI would be involved, just so that the viewers understand, is if this has some degree of national exposure, meaning because maybe it is related to the DNC, and we don't know that.
So Rod Wheeler was roped into this. Now he's suing Fox News, too. All right. Let me play you an interview that Sean Hannity did with Julian Assange. And you'll see the origin of the Seth Rich story here. Julian Assange, Sean Hannity is able to get in to see Julian Assange. And they're looking for some cover for Julian Assange. And they're looking for some cover for Russia. Because obviously, we now know that a Russian GRU agent, you know, the Russian intelligence outfit, GRU, had an agent named Guccifer 2.0 who was negotiating with Julian Assange on Twitter and to give the hacked documents to Julian Assange. Julian Assange wants to deny that he got hacked material from Russia. And so he starts floating, well, I think it was this DNC staffer. I think it was a disgruntled DNC staffer who was killed by Hillary Clinton. Now, he's not going to say it right, like that. But you can see where the conspiracy begins. And Sean Hannity is not only open to it, but Sean Hannity will tweet about it constantly and put it on his show constantly that Seth Rich was the source for the DNC emails.
Can you say to the American people unequivocally that you did not get this information about the DNC, John Podesta's emails? Can you tell the American people 1,000% you did not get it from Russia or anybody associated with Russia?
We can say, we have said repeatedly over the last 2 months that our source is not the Russian government and it is not state party.
There was one report in the Daily Mail that suggested somebody that you are friendly with actually was handed the documents at American University in a wooded area by a disgruntled Democrat who felt betrayed because the revelation showed that Bernie Sanders had been betrayed and they didn't like the corruption of the Clinton Foundation. Can you confirm or deny that? Is that story true?
Well, that statement came from Craig Murray.
Friend
of mine. He's been here several times. But WikiLeaks is a source protection organization. We are famous for never having exposed one of our sources over 10 years. That's why sources trust us and they come to us.
Okay. So he floats this story that a friend of his, friend of Julian Assange's, comes to London and goes into the Ecuadorian embassy and says, hey, I heard or I know or whatever that there was a disgruntled DNC staffer, Seth Rich, and he went to the wooded area behind American University. You know, that's exactly where I lived. That's exactly where I live. Ward Circle. That's right in front of American University. And the park there is called Rock Creek Park. And it's beautiful. So he's suggesting that Seth Rich went into Rock Creek Park and handed over all the DNC emails for delivery to Julian Assange. This is how the conspiracy about Seth Rich began. And it began with Sean Hannity and Julian Assange. Then Julian Assange is going to float another cover story, this one on the at the behest of covering for Roger Stone's, you know, sorry, little drapery ass. And he's going to suggest perhaps it was my old friend Randy Cratico. But Julian, right? This is insanity, okay? This is just, all they're doing is covering their ass.
There was some report that you might have talked to somebody who was not associated with the campaign, Roger Stone.
No, that's false. I think where this Roger Stone claim is coming from is there's a radio guy on WBAI.
That's Randy.
Which is a mutual friend. Who wanted to come and see me to see if I would set up a radio show on WBAI, but he didn't. He did come to London, but he didn't meet with me.
Poor Randy. Poor Randy. Randy was in London to see Barry Crimmins, who has just recently passed away. And he decided that he would go to the Ecuadorian embassy and see if he could get in to see Julian Assange, to get Julian Assange to come on his radio show on WBAI. He lost that job, by the way. So they're just floating ideas about people that they can pin this all on. But here you see that Hannity was always in touch with Assange. Assange got the DNC hacks from the GRU, the Russian intelligence agent, Guccifer 2.0. Roger Stone was also in touch with Guccifer 2.0. So Assange begins to float this Seth Rich conspiracy story, maybe Randy Cretico could be used as cover for everyone. Cover for the Russian agent Guccifer, cover for Roger Stone, cover for WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. And Hannity will be the vessel through which all this fake news will be disseminated. And not to disappoint, that's exactly what Hannity does. All of this culminates on the computers, on the emails, this is why Sean Hannity's saying, well, I didn't hire Michael Cohen in the traditional sense, but I did seek some legal advice from him. Yeah, because after the Seth Rich conspiracy blew up in Fox News' face, Sean Hannity was rejected by Fox News. They put out a statement saying they don't stand by any of his reporting on this. None of it's been proven to be true. And they are retracting the story that was reported by their reporters, Zimmerman and another reporter, and that Hannity's on his own on this. And instantly, a boycott of Hannity's advertisers begins, because they are blaming a murder victim for what the Russian government did. And Hannity goes to Michael Cohen, or has already been to Michael Cohen, to coordinate all this. And he says, now what, Michael? Now I'm going to lose my job because of you. Now I'm going to lose my job because my advertisers are pulling out. Okay, and this is exactly what Gabriel Sherman heard that Michael Cohen was used for by Sean Hannity, that Sean Hannity went to Michael Cohen to help him with the advertiser boycott.
Remarkable development, although not entirely surprising when you actually connect the dots. You know, this is a very fast-moving story, so I'm going to be doing a lot more reporting. But sure, what I have heard so far is that at some point last year, Sean Hannity hired Michael Cohen to help defend him against left-wing groups that were calling for boycotts sort of in the wake of Bill O'Reilly's ouster from Fox News under pressure from advertisers and left-wing groups. My sources said Hannity got very, quote, paranoid and hired Cohen and perhaps other lawyers and or private investigators to look into these groups that were calling for boycotts and trying to get Hannity off the air. Now, this could be very interesting because oftentimes private investigators are hired by law firms because it allows attorney-client privilege to be maintained. So there is a scenario in which if they've seized Michael Cohen's documents, inadvertently we might be able to learn to what degree did Sean Hannity try to go after his enemies with shady tactics like private investigators.
So Gabriel Sherman, who writes for Vanity Fair, is a very fine reporter, is reporting that he's hearing that Sean Hannity contacted Michael Cohen to stave off an advertiser boycott that was being coordinated, by left-wing groups. I'm going to guess, MoveOn and Media Matters and others who, are responsible for spreading, information about advertisers you could boycott if you are angry about, Bill O'Reilly, or if you're angry about, Sean Hannity. Now, Gabriel Sherman is saying this has more to do with Bill O'Reilly's sexual harassment, and Sean got paranoid, so that's why he reached out to Michael Cohen. I'm going to layer on top of that reporting my opinion that once he was in touch with Michael Cohen on the issue of advertiser boycotts, after the Seth Rich story backfired on Sean Hannity in a very dramatic way, advertiser boycotts began again. And so Michael Cohen was called to give help on those advertiser boycotts, which were a direct result of the Seth Rich conspiracy propaganda that Sean Hannity developed with Michael Cohen, with Julian Assange, with Roger Stone. Here's Sean Hannity talking to Roger Stone and Julian Assange.
I might be the only person in America that has actually interviewed Julian Assange 5 times. And I did go to the Ecuadorian embassy. Mm-hmm. Some people like him, some people don't like him. That's irrelevant. We know he's the one that put the emails in play. He put them out. He revealed these emails to the world. The question that I think we've got to ask ourselves, if Robert Mueller, if his mandate, which is now expanded even into the UAE and well beyond what his original mandate is, but if his mandate is to discover Trump-Russia collusion, where these emails came from, did they come from Russia, don't you think the first guy you might want to ask or try and get information from would be the guy that the one person on earth that knows where that came from? Whether you like Julian or don't like Julian, that would be Julian Assange. I can't say with certainty anybody else on the face of this earth would know 100%, but he would.
Well, when I said on MSNBC tonight that I did not believe that Julian Assange was a Russian agent, and I did not believe that WikiLeaks is a Russian asset, I think he's an honest journalist, and no one has questioned the authenticity or the accuracy of any of the material that WikiLeaks has released.
11 years.
So their whole premise is
11 years.
Their whole false premise.
11 years, they've never gotten a thing wrong. That's a far better track record than the three major networks, MSNBC, CNN, The Washington Post, and The New York Times. Not once that I have ever seen did they get it wrong.
That's exactly right. And this entire narrative is based on a false premise from our politicized intelligence agencies that Julian Assange is a Russian agent.
I don't believe anybody's ever said Julian Assange is a Russian agent. I think what is being said is that Julian Assange received the DNC hacked material from a Russian agent. They are very careful, these liars are. But obviously, Roger Stone is somebody that Sean Hannity protects. Obviously, Julian Assange is somebody Sean Hannity protects. Obviously, Michael Cohen is somebody that Sean Hannity protects. Okay, here's Sean Hannity protecting Michael Cohen. When the story first comes out that Michael Cohen has been named in the dossier as being somebody who traveled to Prague. Now, of course, Michael Cohen immediately goes to Sean Hannity and sits down with Sean Hannity to deny that he's ever been to Prague. Okay. I think it's 17, right? Mm-hmm.
As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, mm-hmm. writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences.
The
they already are. And as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up, and by the way, we just found out I was coming down, Michael Cohen, Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer, he's a good lawyer in my firm. It was just reported that it wasn't this Michael Cohen they were talking about. Huh. So all night long, it's Michael Cohen. I said, I want to see your passport. He brings his passport to my office. I say, hey, wait a minute. He didn't leave the country. He wasn't out of the country. They had Michael Cohen of the Trump Organization was in Prague. It turned out to be a different Michael Cohen. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start with Michael Cohen.
And earlier today, I spoke with Michael Cohen all about this, and he said this. And joining us now, Executive Vice President and Special Counsel to Donald Trump, Michael Cohen is with us. How are you, sir?
Sean, how are you?
Now, wait a minute. Am I allowed to look at this? Is the I don't want to joke about it because it's serious in your life. But
it's very serious.
This is
in
the
my
passport.
Life. Yes, it is.
Okay. You're watching this unfold. I got a text from a friend of mine. Are you watching CNN? They're going insane. And then this whole thing unfolds. You're dragged into it all through the night last night. You're a private guy. We're friends, but I know you. This is not comfortable for you.
It's not comfortable, but I'm okay with it personally because it benefits Mr. Trump, and I'll do anything to protect Mr. Trump, the family, now Vice President-elect Pence, as well as the campaign. So I'm okay with it personally. The problem is that it affected my family, it affected my wife, my in-laws, my children, and that's not okay. And I believe CNN and BuzzFeed and others owe them a serious apology. You know, there's an old expression, where do you go to get your reputation
back? Well, that's
back?
What was his name? Ray Donovan in the Reagan administration.
You know where you have to go?
So Michael Cohen goes to Sean Hannity the day that BuzzFeed publishes the entire dossier. Now, CNN was very careful not to mention any of the salacious parts of the dossier. They wouldn't print it, but BuzzFeed did. And obviously part of the dossier, not just the salacious part, but there was another story in the dossier that Michael Cohen had traveled to Prague in the Czech Republic. Checkmate, everybody. If Michael Cohen did go to the Czech Republic, that is checkmate. That in the dossier, Christopher Steele has a report about Michael Cohen traveling to Prague to pay the Russian hackers on behalf of his client, Donald Trump. And so Michael Cohen runs to Sean Hannity the day the dossier is published. They hold up his passport. They don't open his passport. The president says he calls Michael Cohen. He makes Michael Cohen come and show him his passport. But, you know, nobody ever produces, you know, any of the pages of the passport where a stamp that he left the country would be evident in the summer of 2016. Okay. Nobody produces any of those pages. But now this ties right back to what we started explaining all this to you for. And that was Friday's McClatchy bombshell written by Peter Stone and his partner in reporting, Greg Gordon. And again, I'm going to read you the first paragraph of that report that came out on Friday that set Donald Trump into such a tiz that he was threatening to put people in jail, including James Comey. Okay, he just couldn't help himself. He's threatening to jail American citizens, the president of the United States is. This is why. This is the first sentence in Peter Stone's report for McClatchy. The Justice Department special counsel, that's Bob Mueller, has evidence that Donald Trump's personal lawyer and confidant, Michael Cohen, secretly made a late summer trip to Prague during the 2016 presidential campaign, according to two sources familiar with the matter. It goes on. Confirmation of the trip would lend credence to a retired British spy's report that Cohen strategized there with powerful Kremlin figures about Russian meddling in the U.S. election. It would also be one of the most significant developments thus far in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of whether the Trump campaign and the Kremlin worked together to help Trump win the White House, undercutting Trump's repeated pronouncements that there is no evidence of collusion, no evidence of collusion, there's no collusion, no collusion here, you're the colluder. That story on Friday was so freaking pivotal and important because if I have no reason to doubt McClatchy would correct it if they got it wrong. You would see a correction. You would see, you know, our earlier reporting was in error. Sean Hannity will never do that. But obviously, this is the interest that Mueller has had in Michael Cohen for a long time, separate and apart from the taxi medallions or the paying off of Stormy Daniels. But Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti, I think they've connected the dots. I think they know how deep Michael Cohen's connection to the Trump Tower Moscow project, to the Kremlin, to the trip to... I think they know the can of worms that they opened. And that's why they were there yesterday, to watch Michael Cohen walk into the trap that they set in a civil case. To catch Michael Cohen in the act of being corrupt. And it's going to lead to Michael Cohen's being indicted for criminal activity. We've already been told he's under criminal investigation, separate and apart from this evidence that Mueller may have. The Justice Department has evidence. This is how it's reported, that Donald Trump's personal lawyer and confidant Michael Cohen secretly made a late summer trip to Prague. The reason why it's alleged in the dossier that he went to Prague was to pay the Russian hackers.
The fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream today.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
I want to focus in on two of the president's tweets because they're the most serious. The president says not only should you have been fired, but that you leaked classified information, lied to Congress under oath. For both of those infractions, he says you should go to jail.
Yeah, that is not normal. That is not okay. First of all, he's just making stuff up. But most importantly, the president of the United States is calling for the imprisonment of a private citizen, as he's done for a whole lot of people who criticize him. That is not acceptable in this country. I hope people read the book and see why the rule of law is such an important value in this country. And key to that is that the president doesn't get to decide who goes to jail.
You think we've gotten too used to these tweets, dulled to what's actually in
them? Yeah, I think that's a danger, that we're numb to it. We wake up in the morning and see the president of the United States is accusing people of crimes without evidence and pronouncing them guilty and saying they should be in jail. That should wake all of us up with a start, but there's been so much of it that we're a little bit numb, and that's dangerous. So one of the things I hope to do is encourage people to think about that and focus on that rather than becoming sort of numb to it and trying to squeeze it out of your mind.
That is why he's my boyfriend. Honestly, it's true. You know, the president, ever since Friday, has been tweeting. Twitler has been going crazy, demanding that James Comey be jailed. He's done this for Hillary. Michael Flynn, who is facing jail, was on the campaign trail screaming, lock her up. I mean, the kind of projection, you know, these are people, obviously, who have broken the law. These are people who obviously have had, business dealings that were illegal. These are people who have pled guilty to lying about their illegal activities to the FBI. These are people who have either entered into plea deals or are, expecting a pardon before trial, like a Paul Manafort. Michael Cohen has been exposed as being a world heavyweight champion liar. The court is probably outraged that Michael Cohen showed up on Friday trying to say, this raid, it's going to, it's going to put a complete kibosh on attorney-client privilege. And Trump is tweeting, attorney-client privilege in America is dead. I mean, they're all colluding with each other to get the story out there that the Justice Department is a deep state. The Justice Department is bad. The Justice Department is political. The intelligence community is political and they shouldn't be trusted. The only one that you could trust is Donald Trump alone. Only Donald Trump, who keeps hiring some of the most criminal, seriously compromised people like a Michael Flynn, like a Paul Manafort, like a Pruitt, for God's sake. I mean, he's just a financial abuser, you know, with his phone booths and his first class seats and his bulletproof cars and all the money he spends and giving employees raises. And I mean, they're the dirtiest of the dirty. The swamp is so swampy that if you stuck your toe in the White House right now, it would have a leech on the end of it. That's how disgusting the people he brought in are. And he keeps on tweeting out that it's not him, it's everybody else. The whole world is crazy except for him. Everybody's gone, you know, banana except for him. He's the only one that can keep you. Listen, meanwhile, he sends Nikki Haley out. This is just an aside. He sends Nikki Haley out on Sunday to do the Sunday talk shows. And she's sitting there saying, you know, because they're saying, you know, this strike that you did in Syria was meaningless. And maybe it was better to do nothing than to show Assad and Russia and Iran that you're, you know, you would hit things that don't matter, you know, at all. I mean, this could be dangerous, what you did. And she said, well, this isn't the only thing we'll do. We're going to have sanctions, and they will be announced by Steve Mnuchin on Monday, if not already. And then yesterday, Trump says, no, I'm not going forward with those sanctions on Russia. I'm not going forward with those sanctions at all. We don't even have the proof that Russia was complicit in, you know, a nerve agent attack. We don't have the proof. I mean, this is the craziest man who's calling the entire world crazy, and only he is sane. This is the emperor has no clothes on steroids, and it's super, super dangerous. So let's just review what we put together today based on this court appearance, which was a trap that was set for Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen took it and asked the court to hear him in a proceeding. They had the proceeding on Friday. His lawyer wasn't prepared to say who his clients were. They showed up on Monday, and they still weren't prepared to say who the third client was. And I'm telling you, the third client is so important because I have a stinking feeling that Sean Hannity is also under investigation in Mueller's investigation as being the propaganda arm of the Trump administration, being willing to push Russian propaganda. Just like they called Zuckerberg to find out why he couldn't figure out that the Russians were paying him in rubles, for God's sake. And he never answered the question. And Zuckerberg still isn't telling the truth. And he has promised 14 previous times that he would protect our privacy. And obviously he will not. And just like he was called to the Senate and just like he was called to the House, so should they call Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity has been pushing Russian propaganda, Julian Assange's version of events, to the great dismay of Sean Hannity's viewers who turned off because of the Seth Rich a conspiracy theory, which turned out to be completely bogus and false and really heinous because he was exploiting a grieving family whose son was just murdered at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're now suing him. Also, this guy who did the reporting, who said his words were taken, and twisted. He's suing Sean Hannity. The advertiser is pulled out because of the Seth Rich conspiracy, and he runs to Michael Cohen like, now what do I do? Okay? I mean, Hannity has always been in touch with Julian Assange. Julian Assange got the DNC hacked emails from a Russian intelligence officer who paraded around Twitter calling himself Guccifer 2.0. Roger Stone also was talking to Guccifer 2.0. Assange decides that this is inconvenient enough that he floats with Sean Hannity that Seth Rich, this dead kid, was killed by Hillary Clinton, and that he was the source of the DNC leaked emails. He also names Randy Credico, who is a recovering drug addict, alcoholic, stand-up comic who I happen to know, who was trying to get an interview with Julian Assange for his radio show, which he lost because of all this, as cover. Okay, so Assange is floating Seth Rich's cover. He's floating Randy Credico as cover. And Sean Hannity just goes ahead and broadcasts all this and doubles down to give cover to everyone. Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, Guccifer 2.0, a Russian intelligence operative, Julian Assange. He's willing to spread all these false stories, all this fake news, all these lies in defense of the family, the Trump family, the Trump crime family. And it just so happens that Michael Cohen, Trump's consigliere, who's not a wartime consigliere, you're out, Tom, happened to have made the deal with Stormy Daniels. And Avenatti is a very smart white collar criminal attorney. And he knows exactly what we know. He doesn't know what Mueller knows. I don't know what Mueller knows. But he knows what I know. And he has connected the dots. And he now yesterday was fed another dot. And the other dot he was fed, because he set a trap for idiot boy Michael Cohen, who walked right into it, was to find out who Michael Cohen's clients actually were and to make him declare to the court who they were. And Michael Cohen moves to have a proceeding in the court. Michael Cohen asked for this, to go to the court, and the court says, well, then who are your clients that you're protecting? Who do you think's going to be damaged if attorney-client privilege is pierced? And he goes, well, I have clients. Who are your clients? Donald Trump. Well, there was no email between you and Donald Trump. That's settled. So who else? Well, Elliot Briody, who paid Playboy model. All right. We won't release any of the emails between you and Elliot Brody concerning the payoff of his paramour. That will be, you know, the taint team, the filter team. They will filter out those emails so that the attorney-client privilege you had with Elliot Briody will not be pierced. Anybody else you want to protect? We have a third client. He's asked us not to make his name public. Well, Judge Kimba Wood, who's been sitting on that court forever. She was supposed to be our attorney general in 1993. And the reason why Kimba Wood was not confirmed as attorney general in 1993 is because she was actually the person that made us understand that Mexicans were raising our children. And other visa overstays, like Swedish, au pairs who overstayed their visas, were raising our children. Yeah, because Judge Kimba Wood, her nanny, didn't have current papers in 1993. And that's why she wasn't confirmed. Anyway, she's been around the block a time or two. And she wasn't falling for this. What do you mean he doesn't want? Who cares what your client wants? The saying of a name does not pierce attorney-client privilege. I'm not asking you what matters. I'm not asking you, what did you advise? I'm not asking for any of your legal. I'm just saying, who is it we need to tell the taint team to protect? And the attorney, Stephen Ryan, said he offered to put the name in an envelope and have her open it in camera, privately, in her office. And she said, well, you could just say it. An idiot boy says it out loud. And now everybody knows. And I suspect Sean Hannity has been under investigation by Bob Mueller this whole time, which is why Sean Hannity is running to Michael Cohen for help. And why Sean Hannity was willing to do crazy conspiracy theories, and why Sean Hannity is getting sued by the Seth Rich parents and by Seth Rich's brother. And by this journalist, it was a private eye or something that Sean Hannity booked on his show, Rod Wheeler. And Rod Wheeler was kept telling Sean Hannity, we don't have any proof of what you're saying. Nobody knows, if he was really murdered, or if it was a robbery gone. You know, you're alleging that Hillary Clinton had Seth Rich killed. I can't corroborate that story. And they kept on doubling down. Well, Rod Wheeler's reporting. And so now Rod Wheeler is suing him, too, over this. Sean Hannity has been promoting his version of events on his show ever since Donald Trump was the Republican National ever since he was the nominee for the Republican Party. And Sean Hannity knows that Michael Cohen went to Prague. Sean Hannity knows that Julian Assange and he were in touch on direct messages. He knows Roger Stone was in touch with Guccifer 2.0. He knows everything. He knows the whole backstory of the hacked emails, the real story. He knows how Julian Assange got them. He knows why they were timed perfectly for release, like an hour after the Access Hollywood tape. Michael Cohen and him have been palling around for a really long time. He's been defending Michael Cohen. He's never told his audience anything about, him being Michael Cohen's client. And he is Michael Cohen's client. He is. The only thing Sean said was there was no third party, meaning it didn't have to do with the payoff of a woman. No, it had to do with the payoff of Russian hackers that Michael Cohen made in Prague.
Randy Rhodes Show is live on randyrhodes.com and the free Progressive Voices app for Android and iOS. Visit the App Store or progressivevoices.com now.
Do you think President Trump has been compromised by the Russians?
I don't know. And these are words I never thought would come out of my mouth about an American president, but it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely. I don't know, and the honest answer is it's possible. It's hard to explain some things without at least leaving your mind open to that being a possibility.
What is the possibility that you see? What's the greatest possibility that he was?
Well, obviously, the most likely is that he's not. But the reason I say possible is that there's a non-zero possibility that the Russians have some sway over him that is rooted in his personal experience. And I don't know whether that's the business about the activity in a Moscow hotel room or finances or something else. But again, I don't want to overstate it. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying, to be honest with you, I have to say it's possible. And if you'd asked me 2 years ago, would I ever say that about an American president? Of course not. That would never happen. But the honest answer is it's possible.
And that's because of the attitude he's taken toward Russia and not generally declining to criticize Russia or Putin. That's in his response to the Russian meddling in our election. All that adds up to you to be raised the possibility that he's been compromised.
Right. That plus one other piece, which to me is very important, at least in my experience, he won't criticize Vladimir Putin even in private. Even in a meeting with three people in the Oval Office, he is arguing that he gave a good answer when he said, essentially, we are the same kind of killers that Putin's thugs are. And that struck me, because I can understand why a president might want to. It's important to have a good relationship, even with adversaries, why a president might not want to criticize publicly another leader. But privately, sitting with the person in charge of countering the Russia threat in the United States, privately not being willing to do that, that always struck me.
See, Hannity, sorry, Comey. I apologize, Jim. Jim Comey cannot fathom that an American president would be beholden to or take orders from or be under the sway of or in the employ of a foreign adversary, the likes of Vladimir Putin or any other foreign adversary for that matter. But he says it's possible, and he doesn't know what Mueller has found, because the reason why Mueller is because James Comey was fired. And ever since Friday with this McClatchy story that says that Mueller does have evidence that Michael Cohen traveled to Prague, Donald Trump has had his giant panties in a giant bunch up his giant crack and has been tweeting that he wants James Comey in jail for the entire weekend. I mean, and it's just so telling how the president goes into these fits of rage the closer the investigation gets to him. And having Comey out there say it's possible. I mean, I never would think that about another U.S. president ever. But I do think that it's possible that Trump is under the sway. He won't even criticize this man in private. James Comey talked about having Russians in the Oval Office without any Americans present. He doesn't react to the fact that Trump called him a nut job. He reacts to the fact that there are two Russians in the Oval Office without any Americans present the day after he's fired. Now we have Bob Mueller. And I'm telling you, there is a small group of people who know that Russia hacked, who received the ill-gotten goods, who paid them to disseminate them, who worked with WikiLeaks, who worked with Julian Assange to keep the source of that material covered. And Julian Assange sits there and says, well, we're a source protection group. We never reveal our sources. But it is possible that it was Seth Rich who Hillary had murdered, who stole the DNC and handed them over to Julian Assange in Rock Creek Park, right off Ward Circle in D.C. below American University. I mean, it's just so insane. All the different breadcrumbs that they dropped to lead away from the fact that Michael Cohen paid the hackers in Prague and that Trump and Putin were working together. And that Sean Hannity is the propaganda arm for, I mean, everybody's looking at RT. Everybody's looking at RT, this Russian TV, propaganda. Yeah, okay. What about Fox News? Why is he so willing to put out the Russian line? Now, where to start? I'll show you this. Okay, this is an amazing story. How the Seth Rich conspiracy, actually unfolded. And I played you the Newt Gingrich, where Newt Gingrich was on Fox News, and he was the person they went to break the Seth Rich story, to say how strange it is. We have this very strange story now of this young man who worked for the Democratic National Committee, who apparently was assassinated at 4 a.m, having given WikiLeaks something like 53,000 emails and 17,000 attachments. This was May 21st.
At the same time, we have this very strange story now of this young man who worked for the Democratic National Committee, who apparently was assassinated at 4 a.m, having given WikiLeaks something like 53,000 emails and 17,000 attachments. Mm-hmm. Nobody's investigating that.
Okay, that same day, Hannity tweets, quote, "If Seth Rich was Wikisource, no Trump-Russia collusion." The next day, May 23rd, or 2 days later, May 23rd, the story by Malia Zimmerman, which read, "Slain DNC staffer had contact with WikiLeaks, says multiple sources." That was written by one Malia Zimmerman. Fox News retracts Malia Zimmerman's story on May 23rd. They replaced it with a brief statement about how this story didn't meet their high degree of editorial scrutiny that Fox News demands from its journalists. Hannity says, "Oh, I'm going to do my own investigation." And then on Memorial Day, that was May 23rd, where Fox retracted, on Memorial Day, Sean Hannity goes silent and just drops the story. And everybody understood what that meant, that it was an elaborate concoction, that there was no there, and that it was meant to distract from the reality that there were plenty of indications that were being reported by other news sources that Julian Assange got the hacked DNC emails from Guccifer 2.0. And we know this, you know, let's read something current, okay? This is from BuzzFeed, who's done an amazing amount of reporting on this. This is from BuzzFeed News' cybersecurity correspondent, who's actually gone over all the tweets and stuff and the direct messages. And this is what they wrote. This was the 5th of April this year, 2018. "Twitter direct messages obtained by BuzzFeed News show that in the summer of 2016, WikiLeaks was working to obtain files from Guccifer 2.0, an online hacktivist persona linked to by Russian military intelligence, the clearest evidence to date of WikiLeaks admitting its pursuit of Guccifer 2.0. Here's one of the direct messages, quote, "Please leave their conversation with them and us. WikiLeaks asked a journalist named Emma Best, who was negotiating with Guccifer 2.0, for access to what Guccifer 2.0 had teased on its blog as, quote, exclusive access to hacked Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee files. She wrote, we would appreciate it if you did not dump the docs, and obviously archive.org will delete them anyway." Now, WikiLeaks had mentioned Guccifer 2.0 one time before, and that was in June 2016, 5 weeks before the first dump of the DNC emails. They claimed in a tweet that the persona, Guccifer 2.0, had claimed it gave WikiLeaks DNC emails. At the time that this journalist, Emma Best, was talking to Julian Assange, Julian Assange had already shifted the story of how WikiLeaks got those emails. And he was doing these interviews on TV with Sean Hannity and others, floating the Seth Rich conspiracy story, saying that Seth Rich had been murdered in what police couldn't solve, and that it's possible that he was a disgruntled DNC staffer who actually got the DNC emails, and Hillary had him killed. But there are messages between Julian Assange and Emma Best, who is a freelance national security journalist and an online archivist. And she is talking to him, and she's also talking to Guccifer 2.0. And she's told BuzzFeed that she first reached out to Guccifer 2.0 in August of 2016 after Guccifer 2.0 posted on a WordPress account a call for journalists who wanted its files. So this is how it started. Guccifer 2.0 not the hacker, but the hackers were giving all the documents to this intelligence operative, the Russian intelligence operative. And then he went and he advertised to journalists, anybody who wants these files, let us know. So this reporter, Emma Best, she said, I sent them a direct message and I referred to that asking, what do you have in mind? She did it over Signal. Now, she's got experience posting large data sets. She wondered if she could host the files on archive.org, which is a nonprofit digital library. But Guccifer 2.0 had another idea. He wrote, I gonna send a large trove to WikiLeaks. So this reporter, Emma Best, direct messages Julian Assange. She direct messages with WikiLeaks because she had direct messaged them before. And she relays that message that Guccifer says, I gonna send a large trove to WikiLeaks to ask, you know, could she be included in the dissemination? She said, I told them, WikiLeaks, that Guccifer 2.0 was considering giving me at least part of the cash, which is when they asked me to be their agent, and they said I would get credit for it. Miss Best said she didn't agree to act as Julian Assange, as the agent for Julian Assange, she said, but that's when she stopped messaging with Guccifer 2.0. WikiLeaks is adamant that its communications with Emma Best, that it didn't want her to leak the files or be part of it. These other media groups are very likely to take a stupid initial angle, WikiLeaks sent to her in a message on August 12th at 9:14 p.m., adding that other news outlets would focus less on the content of the emails than on how they came to be. She says, he says, we don't know if it's true, probably Russians, who knows, blah, blah, blah. She says she dropped the pitch with both parties and she never received or passed any exclusive documents. Emma Best, the journalist. But less than an hour after WikiLeaks sent that last message to Emma Best saying, we don't know if it's true, possibly Russians, who knows, blah, blah, blah. Guccifer 2.0 tweets an hour later that it handed the documents over. And this is what Guccifer 2.0 tweeted an hour later. I'll send the major trove of the hashtag DCCC materials and emails to hashtag WikiLeaks. Keep following. So she turned over her emails to BuzzFeed, and BuzzFeed reprinted her emails and her direct messages on Twitter. And obviously, there was a conversation between Guccifer 2.0, who we now know is Russian intelligence, and Julian Assange. And both of them understand that Guccifer 2.0 is out there shopping all these stolen hacked emails. And they're both making a pitch to have them. And Julian says, well, you could be my agent for this. She doesn't want to be the go-between. She doesn't, oh, I'll give you credit for it. She's like, no, not interested. She was just hoping that she could, you know, post it on archive.com because they have the ability to post large data sets there and blah, blah. But she didn't want to be in between. But obviously, Guccifer 2.0 is the originator of the hacked emails and not Seth Rich. On June 15th, more than a month before WikiLeaks published the first of the two batches of the Democratic emails, Guccifer 2.0 wrote in an email to a website that we kind of know, The Smoking Gun. And Guccifer 2.0 wrote to The Smoking Gun, we have, quote, thousands of files and mails that we gave to WikiLeaks a month before. So we know where they came from.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
Now, we have now entered a dangerous new phase, and there's no turning back from this. It is clear, as I have been warning, Mueller is out to get the president, and it appears at any cost. Here's what happened. Upon referral from special counselor Robert Mueller, the FBI has raided the office, the home, and the hotel room of Michael Cohen, the personal attorney of the president of the United States. Now, the FBI reportedly seized records related to Cohen's payment to this porn star, Stormy Daniels, among other items. And according to Bloomberg tonight, this all came after the deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, recommended that the Cohen investigation be pursued by federal prosecutors in New York. Now, keep in mind, Cohen was never part of the Trump administration or the Trump campaign. This is now officially an all-hands-on-deck effort to totally malign and, if possible, impeach the president of the United States.
How do you get from a New York attorney and the FBI in New York raiding Michael Cohen's office for evidence of business crimes to Bob Mueller, who obviously is looking into Michael Cohen's trip to Prague and Michael Cohen's, Russia, Trump Tower, episodes? But he comes across a crime, another crime, a financial crime. He comes across a garden variety crime, paying off women, or, maybe it has to do with the fact that, he has all these taxi medallions and he doesn't pay taxes on them. Who the hell knows? Or maybe it has to do that with the fact that Keith Davidson, who mysteriously is Stormy Daniels' attorney, who's also the attorney for Karen McDougal. You know, she's the one that was paid off by the Inquirer. And now all of a sudden, the Playboy model who was settling with Elliot Briody, she was also represented by Keith Davidson, and they all end up with the men on the other side of their case in Michael Cohen's office, and that there were tape recordings that were seized in that raid between Keith Davidson and Michael Cohen.
CNN has learned tonight that when the FBI raided Michael Cohen's office, his apartment, and his hotel room, they seized audio recordings between Cohen and Keith Davidson. Davidson, you might remember, was Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal's first lawyer. He's the guy who negotiated their hush money, and of course, he no longer represents either one of them. The recordings could prove really valuable to the government's investigation of Cohen, who, as we all know, is under scrutiny for his role in trying to keep these alleged affairs secret before the presidential election. And the warrant that last week specifically mentioned these women. Now, Cohen, as you know, has admitted absolutely no wrongdoing. Yes. And we also know the president has denied any affairs. And I should add that we do not know how many calls were recorded or what the conversations specifically contained.
But isn't it interesting that the attorney, the former attorney for Stormy Daniels, Keith Davidson, the former attorney for Karen McDougal, that the men that they are accusing all end up in Michael Cohen's orbit? I don't know. So Mueller comes across this. This has nothing to do with Russia, right? Nothing. But it's other crimes. And of course, Mueller is looking at whether or not Michael Cohen went to Prague to pay off the hackers. How could you not? And of course, you know, Mueller is looking at Michael Cohen and Felix Sater. And perhaps there was another story last week that there was a colonel, a defector from the GRU, the Russian Intelligence Services, who was giving evidence to the United States about the Russian hacking, about the Trump campaign being involved in it, about Flynn, about Manafort, whatever. And that that guy was a double agent, that that guy was a defector from the GRU, and that he was providing all kinds of intelligence information to our side the whole time. We know it's not Felix Sater. It's another guy. And we know Felix Sater was very close to Michael Cohen. They grew up together. They've been friends since they're 7 years old. And Felix Sater is a double agent. So this whole freaking thing is going to come out. And I got a sick feeling that Sean Hannity is under investigation right alongside these shady characters for being their propaganda arm, for being their protection, for being their tool, and promoting to a 3 million, you know, 3 million a night audience lies. Literally lies. Lies about Seth Rich. You know, it's like they saw a dead body. And they pointed to it and they said, he did it. He did it. It was just, and by the way, according to Newsweek, seriously, according to Newsweek, in an article they published last month, March 29th, the article's called How the Seth Rich Conspiracy Could Stop Fake News at Fox News and Other Conservative Outlets, okay? And when you read through this article, you get to this point where it says, most damning of all, the suit, and they're talking about the civil suit that was brought by Seth Rich's family against Fox News for pointing at their son's corpse and saying, that's who did it, blaming a dead kid. Most damning of all, the suit claims that the White House was involved in crafting Malia Zimmerman's story. The story that Fox News distanced itself from after Newt Gingrich is breathlessly reporting it on May 21st. By May 23rd, Fox News is saying, oh, this doesn't meet our high standards of editorial, fact checking. Huh? You know, they have a fact checker at Fox News. So, you know, they distance themselves from this story. And then, of course, by Memorial Day, the story is gone. You never hear another word about the Seth Rich conspiracy from Sean Hannity ever again because it was concocted. It was made up. But this is what Newsweek reported about that. They said that the suit that was brought by the Seth Rich family claims that the White House was involved in talking to Malia Zimmerman, the reporter for Fox News, and crafting this story to point at Seth Rich's poor dead body and say he stole the DNC emails. Now, the White House, of course, denies it. And Trump watches 5 hours of television every day. He tracks Fox and Friends every morning with whatever they say. And in the evening, he watches Sean Hannity. And then when Sean gets off the air, Trump calls Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity goes to Mar-a-Lago and he has dinner there. Sean Hannity goes to the White House and he has dinner with the president. In other words, Fox News has this immense deal or sway or whatever. I mean, I don't know who's you know, yanking whose chain, but they're together with the Trump administration. Now, either the Trump administration is feeding them bogus news or they're feeding Trump bogus news, whatever. But here's Sean Hannity sitting with Julian Assange, who's getting the hacked emails from a Russian agent. The whole time our country is investigating the attack on America. And this man is sitting there with an American flag, throwing his stupid American flag football, claiming he's a better American than anybody else. And he's in league with the cover-up. And the cover-up is to cover up Russian involvement in our election, an attack on America. It's sick. But Joel and Mary Rich, who are the parents, they filed in federal court in the beginning of March. And in their lawsuit, they named Fox News, Malia Zimmerman, a guy named Ed Butowski, who is a Republican donor from Dallas. He's the guy that paid Rod Wheeler to investigate Seth Rich's killing. And the charge by the Rich family is that they, quote, intentionally exploited this tragedy, including through lies, misrepresentations, and half-truths, with disregard for the obvious harm that their actions would cause Joel and Mary, Seth Rich's parents. The response from Fox News to date is, we can't comment, it's pending litigation. A separate suit was brought by Seth Rich's brother, Aaron Rich. And all this is, you know, stuff that caused Sean Hannity to get boycotted by his advertisers. And nobody organized that, okay? The advertisers did not want to be associated with this kind of a conspiracy story about a kid who used to work at the DNC in Washington. Now, just so you know, Seth Rich would never have access to Hillary Clinton's emails. Seth Rich would not have access to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's emails either, okay? He would not be able to get those emails, let alone, you know, so it's just all bogus, and that's why Fox News dropped the story. But they hatched this story. Julian Assange and Sean Hannity, and I'm guessing Michael Cohen and Roger Stone and Donald Trump all hatched this story to point to a poor dead kid and say he did it. So that there would be no Russian collusion, there would be no Russian hacking. Except the problem is the intelligence community said before Trump was president that there was Russian hacking and have stuck with it this whole time. And now there's Twitters, and now there's direct messages, and now there's evidence, and now there, you know. So I got a funny feeling that Sean Hannity is in a whole lot deeper than Sean Hannity cares to admit last night on his show. I mean, the smugness. Hi, liberals. Well, you know, of course we stopped in to see what freaking lie you would tell. Doesn't mean that we're going to be sustained viewers.
Tonight, I got to give a special shout out as we start the show to all of you liberals in the media and all across America, everyone out there that may not usually watch, tuning in about some recent news about yours truly that came up today. Well, let not your heart be troubled. In a few minutes, we will address all of the rumors and speculations, and you don't want to miss that at all. Also tonight, yes, the book tour has begun after months of buildup. Fired FBI Director James Comey has finally kicked off his quest to become rich and famous.
Oh, Jesus. That's like, and now we go to a live car crash. I mean, it was unbelievable. This was his statement last night. And then he downshifts into James Comey. You know, James Comey is rich. You understand that. He was like a hedge fund lawyer for a while. Okay. He doesn't need the money. He's not doing this for money. He's doing this because he's frightened. He's frightened that the country is becoming numb to the fact that we have been infiltrated by a foreign agent's pick. Or that the president is a foreign agent, just like Flynn was, just like Manafort was. I mean, and this is why he wrote the book. So, this makes me ill. And then his carefully parsed excuse came very, very, very late in the show, but not before Alan Dershowitz actually said to him, you really should have disclosed this. You really should have said that you were one of Michael Cohen's clients.
Well, first of all, Sean, I do want to say that I really think that you should have disclosed your relationship with Cohen when you talked about him on this show. You could have said just that you had asked him for advice or whatever. But I think it would have been much, much better had you disclosed that relationship. You were in a difficult situation,
obviously. If you understand the nature of it, Professor, I'm going to deal with this later in the show.
Yeah, I understand.
It was minimal. I put out a statement about it.
And you should have said that. And that would have been fair to say that it was minimal.
That's fine.
Look, you were in a tough position because, A, you had to talk about Cohen, and, B, you didn't want the fact that you had spoken to him to be revealed. And you had...
He talks to him on his show all the time. He talks to him on his show. He holds up his passport, doesn't open the passport, holds up his passport. He defends him. He trashes the entire law enforcement community at the behest of Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, Michael Flynn. He defended Paul Manafort. He still defends. this was the best Ellinger Shorts could do, you know, knowing he would get kicked off if he did any more. You should have disclosed. That's the least of it. That's the least of it. Sean Hannity makes $36 million a year. He works at Fox News. They have more lawyers at Fox News. They have so many lawyers at Fox News that I know their senior lawyer. She's actually part of my family now, married into it. He can't go to them for advice. He has to go to Michael Cohen for advice. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. What Sean Hannity did was say to Michael Cohen, hey, you're a lawyer. You could talk to me. You could tell me all the dirt. And I'll give you $10 and we'll say there's an attorney-client privilege. Is what we'll do. And we'll protect ourselves that way. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So that's what he tried with Michael Cohen so that they could talk on background, because he's not a journalist, okay? He's a freaking lunatic. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's willing to say any damn thing to his audience. Now, to the Fox News audience, how freaking gullible are you? How many times are you going to sit there and be lied to and given bad information and still say, this is where I go for information? Basically, the message of today's show was they're all in deep shit, but you need to cut the crap. Buy a stinking podcast.